gifted child. You've returned. Covered in the stains of war, I see. Has the cold, blackened earth scared you off? The warmth of the fire, the sweet sting of light-struck air? Has that turned you gutless? Oh. You wanted to hear more of the story. Fine, then. Just remember, gifted child. It is just a story. Hold on. Do you hear that? Hold on.
I've been trying to kill this fucking rat for about a week now. And it keeps scurrying around, eating my shit. I don't know if you can hear it, but I can hear it.
This is part two of Chapo Trap House and DM Patches present Rise of the Unblooded, Curse of the Mad King Job.
You rush out of there, and you guys head, to the woods at this point. And sort of moving stealthily among the path. The harpies are obviously in wait, always looking to pick you off. But your journey has begun without Lindale. But it's begun all the same. And it needs to be completed. So you walk a few miles along the roads, battered and bruised from your encounter. And you reach the woods. Now, around the woods, you move further from Jerkwater. The few people who remain are... It's these boonies with a mix of saved and unblooded living amongst one another in perpetual frustration. The woods itself is this horrible place where there's stink lines carved through anything that attempts to seal this place from the world. The hill hag's woes, she wants them to be known by everyone that she was defeated by the true king. She wants everyone to know and think about it constantly for the rest of her and your days. And outside the woods, you see a little gaggle of what looks like gritties. And you hear the dog, your dog, Matt, growl as he sees the gritties. It's like a toddler just looking at these little gritties. And the gritties then, they seem like they're doing roll call.
Okay, Big Youngest Among Us?
Ratio.
Okay, Kurt Engels?
Present.
Corn Cob.
Air Jordan Peterson?
Present. Corn Cob, Ratio.
Leon Thotsky?
We're all trying to find the guy who did
Peter Kirk.
We're all trying to find the guy who did this. We're trying to find the guy who did this.
Murray Cumchin?
Corn Cob.
Present.
Graham, she got run over by a reindeer?
Okay, Boomer.
And that leaves me, Lacan These Nuts, and Big Mark's Energy.
I instantly take another Percocet.
Big Mark's Energy? And you see the grittiest despondent looking around. Okay.
Crickets.
Okay, we gotta figure this out, my dear.
Oh, trying to find the guy who did this.
Ratio!
That's and they turn around. And they they see you three approaching. They go, whoa, chud alert, fascist.
Fash.
Halt, comrades. You three, are you with the proud ones?
No, come on. No. I can't even eat breakfast cereal.
I don't know, comrade. The tall one looks like he works out.
We're looking. If you read, I'm trying to lie to them. Know, if you read on the state and yourself, that book, they said that, like, obviously body fascism is bad, but it's good to be yourself.
What reading group are you in?
It's sort of just a solo. So I'm sort of reading Dolo.
We're looking for the guy who did this. Just kidding. We're looking for...
Man.
We're looking for our friend, Big Mark's Energy. We were in the Cheshire Woods trying to dab on the hill hag. Boomer. And we don't know where he went. If you guys see him, do you mind letting us know?
Yeah, I would take any opportunity to talk to you guys more, for sure.
This guy understands the assignment.
Well, Hopefully he'll practice radical self-care and find his way back. All right, guys, back to the Chaz.
And they all sort of, like, scuttle away back to wherever the Chaz is.
And the dog is just growling and like shaking like and vibrating with hunger.
Dude, I totally get it.
I look at Matt and Felix. I roll my eyes and I say, it may be distasteful, but unfortunately they are paying my bog rent. So
I mean,
you can't choose the people who read your and like your pamphlets.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, look. I mean, like, let's help him out if we can. I'm not going to go out of my way to help him, but you know,
one of them comes back. You think you recognize him as Air Jordan Peterson, and he turns to you guys and he says, "Look, if you guys find him, I mean, you know, just yeah, you know, you don't have to bring him back. Just be careful. He's kind of a we're trying to cancel him, or I am. So just letting you know." And coming, comrades.
Another guy comes over and he hits the dab, super low dab, and then he he rolls for a riff check with Matt's character specifically for some reason. This one, his name is Intersectional Bobby Elvis.
Fucking shit.
God damn it.
Fuck.
He gets a crit fail. He slips on a cow pie and he dies of a concussion.
Oh,
but yeah,
Jesus.
He did sound like he wanted to cancel this guy. There's someone who wanted to save him, someone wanted to cancel him. You're outside the Cheshire Woods. Thank you, Jack and Chris. Fucking great. Thank you for your help there. Yeah, do you guys want to venture in?
Yeah, I want to. I just got to say, like, man, like, if you live in the woods now, I get it. Like, you're trying to save up ruins. It's like whatever. Like you know, you spent your time in the slums and everything in the King's District. But like, if you grow up in the fucking woods, you're an asshole. Like this, like I can't imagine someone who grew up here. Like how awful it would be. What a fucking idiot they would be. Like around that. I mean, I don't know anyone who did. But like, you would have to be the biggest piece of shit if you grew up here. They should kill everything that's here.
Oh God! Okay, so you guys,
I'm looking around at these woods, and I gotta say, just the general atmosphere here, it reminds me of a very good Alpha 24 Vision Scroll came out not too long ago, directed by Robert Eggers and starring the great Anya Taylor-Joy. I don't know if you've seen The Queen's Gambit, but it was one of the better Netflix scrolls that came out in the last couple of years. Directed by Robert Eggers, starring Anya Taylor-Joy. It's called The Woman.
Ooh. I was with a maiden who kind of looked like Anya Taylor-Joy with normal eyes. It's a long story. There was another guy I was writing a scroll with. This is a while ago. He was dating her when, whatever. Don't want to talk about it.
So you guys wander into the Cheshire Woods. And it's a peculiar place, you know? It's this, like, disgusting, gnarled, like wood everywhere. There's like green slime around everything there. Like nothing can live there. This is why the developer couldn't develop there. This is why nobody goes in here. And the fog, the second you approach the woods, whatever rolling fog that was like gently out, like hovering outside of the woods, it becomes thick as fucking anything the second you walk into it. I don't know what you guys want to do, but you have to try to find a way to dispel this fog so that you can get to the catacombs. So you obviously, you know, I don't know what you guys talked with the guys there, and they mentioned some ideas about what to do. I don't know what you guys are thinking, though. I wanted to sort of you guys discuss.
Well, we encountered an owl already. Owl, one of the most powerful masculine forces that can be channeled in service of, like I said, the traditional form of society, the matriarchy. Mm-hmm. That I'm trying to return to. So I would like to wild shape into an owl
Perfect.
That way I can sort of like get above the fog, just get sort of a, do a sort of ocular kinetic assessment of the fog style scenario that we find ourselves in.
Absolutely. So when you turn into an owl, owls, like all animals, most animals in D&D for some reason, all have like really distinct stats for them. As an owl, you turn into an owl and you're able to soar above the fog in the trees. You see the fog goes all the way up in the woods. And you're able to get above the woods at this point. You can see sort of a bit beyond. You can even see the horizon of the Black City in the distance. But no entrance to the catacombs. And you see the spires that line the way out of the woods, which is why you're trying to go through here and through the catacombs. And you know, but you can roll, in this case, perception. See what you can sort of sense just peering through the fog with your, you know, okay, brilliant owl eyes. And you have advantage on this, too.
Ooh, wow. All right.
Holy shit. Okay.
Damn.
So, that's a dirty 20, folks. So with that, you're able to peer into the woods and see something waving to you, almost like a glowing outline of some kind of shade. And as you approach it, you think you maybe recognize it. You see the shade, and it looks at you, and it has a friendly face, and it seems friendly to you. Roll history. You recognize the shade. It's Vince's Fosterus.
Ooh.
And he sort of like looks to you, and he beckons you to follow him. Now your comrades aren't with you, but he's sort of beckoning you to follow him.
I do remember that. He did enter the Netherworlds in a forest, so this makes sense.
So, do you want to follow him, or do you want to grab your comrades and then go follow him? What do you want to do?
I'm gonna grab the comrades and say, fellas, just turned into an owl. encountered a ghost in the suicide forest, in the quote unquote suicide forest. and you know, when I'm in a darkened wood filled with fog and a ghost is beckoning towards me, there's only one thing to do. Follow them.
So, yeah. You could see the dog sort of like sniffing the air. And he turns to you, Matt, the dog, and he says, be wary. Spider. Spider, not nice.
I gotta say, like, normally if I was told to follow something in a suicide forest, I would be like, oh yeah, no, I am going to follow the ultimate loser, a ghost who killed themselves. A, if you're a ghost, that means that you didn't get all your stuff done. B, suicide, that's like, look, I think mental health is really important, but that is the moral failing if you do that.
Absolutely.
But you seem to think you have some doubts over whether this ghost killed himself, right?
I do. I very much do.
All right, well, that's good enough for me. I'm still feeling good off my medicine.
Like the blue cloaks call this the suicide forest. I call it the murder forest.
All right, that's all you need.
I call it the victims of the hill hack forest.
That's all you needed to say. I like the cool breeze on my back. I'm sweating a lot for some reason. It's good to be out here. Let's go.
Watch for spider.
The dog. The dog nods to you, Matt. Like, good job. Like, they got that. Like they'll get that. And he opines, call it Hill Hag Body Count Forest. And you guys wander further into the woods. You catch the eye of the shade again. You kind of were able to locate where he was, and you follow him through. And he leads you to looks like a long dead elf of some kind, laying its back against a tree, clutching in its hand a parchment. And you see the sullen shade of Vince's Fosterus, and he looks to the three of you, and he gestures to the elf, and he goes, making shade noises.
Well, I mean, if there's a parchment there, I want to read the parchment.
So you want to go up and grab the parchment from the elf?
Yeah, I'm gonna just check out this parchment.
Okay, roll dexterity saving throw. Okay, cool. So you start to read the parchment. You start to pull the parchment from his hand when, above you, you feel something sticky on the back of your neck. The dog starts barking immediately. And you, Vulfil, start getting pulled up into...
Someone's not doing retention.
Into the web of some sort of half-spider, half-woman like creature. They call these humas. And they litter
the forest. And she says, I am going to eat this one first. So what do you guys want to do?
I mean, okay, are you going to eat me as part of an official traditional druidic sacrifice, or are you just going to eat me?
No, I'm hungry.
All right, fuck this.
Okay. So what do you guys want to do? Are you guys going to try to attack her, or what? She's just pulling him up right now.
Can I hit her with a flaming sphere? Can I try to cast flaming sphere?
Fuck yeah, you could just cast that shit right up.
Yeah, I'm casting it right up at this.
Oh, fuck yes.
Kiss of the Spider Woman, starring Raul Julia and William Hurt. No thanks, not this time.
Okay, cool. So when you shoot the... Fuck. As I put that in the back of your spells, and I was like, oh shit, you got it. Okay. I forgot that I didn't put that in the front by accident. Okay, so you shoot the spell, this 5-foot diameter flaming spear up in the air. And she is just like pulling you up. And she's like, And she's going to have to roll a dexterity saving throw. Yeah, she's able to, as the spear comes to her, she's able to let go of you and tumble out of the way and land on the ground on her legs, but she still got scorched. We're going to roll for some damage for that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you burn her. She takes a little bit of damage, only 3, and she's scorched. Like, you. And, yeah, roll for initiative, guys. So, Oprah, you guys are about to... do this. So, Will, you got some serious initiative. She pulled you up in the web. You cast a flaming sphere from nowhere, and now you get to fucking just go again. So, what do you want to do?
Normally, it's been sort of a lifelong ambition of me to fulfill my life in the most traditional way possible.
Of course.
Which is, of course, being bred and then consumed by some sort of spider woman abomination. It's my fondest wish. But it has to be like a traditional matriarchal druid spider woman. I'm looking at this spider woman. She's very immodest. All 8 of her legs are showing, and it's just it's turned me off. I am repelled by this she beast. But also strangely intrigued. But you know, I got a quest to do. No time to be bred and sacrificed. Now, gotta stay. Gotta do. Focus on the task at hand. So, I am going to shoot a guiding bolt at this spider woman.
Nice. Ooh. That does hit. Nice, dude. Roll for damage on that. Insane. Oh my god, wow, that's so cool. You do 20 damage to her as you shoot this guiding bolt. What does your guiding bolt look like? It's typically like a flash of light that streaks out of your hand. Does yours have any special druidic characteristics or scroll-based characteristics? What does it look like?
Very traditional, very simple, very humble, but I just go, I shoot these, like, these arcs of very, you know, very traditional guiding bolts, you know, like very traditional Celtic design, sort of like, you know, like there's some, you know, maybe some, like, some runes are just sort of like illuminated, like, on my hands and fingers, like the runes that I've carved into my arms are sort of like illuminated by as the guiding bolt sort of courses through my body. A lot of the traditional runes I have, it's sort of like Celtic tribal rune body art that I adorn myself with. That is again very traditional, very matriarchal. You know, not modern, not Asian characters or anything horror-ish like that. Yeah. But you know, I say like the light is the way, the door is the key, death is the gate.
Yes, and you shoot it, and Huma goes, "I can't understand any of that." And as it cuts through her body, somewhere Varg is nodding solemnly and smiling, and dying from eating refined sugar. So she gets hurt by you. She's been kind of beat by you pretty bad, and sort of like out of like a fearful cowardliness, she's going to go after Matt instead. So she's going to walk towards you, Matt, with her legs held out akimbo, and start trying to like swipe it. She does hit you. She's coming at you with these legs. You're probably taken a little off guard. You're trying to protect your dog as well. And she does 12 damage to you. She like sort of punctures you with these things. And she's gonna try to do it again to you. She's like, ha, 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 the hill hag will be proud of me, as she keeps trying to hit you. And oh boy, she got a critical hit.
Ooh.
As she sort of is jamming her legs into you, and you take another 15 damage. So you're still standing. Actually, you have a lot of HP. You are a big tank. But she just, like, started puncturing you. And you see your dog's like, no, not another nice man, no! He's, like, just getting, like so distressed and distraught about it. But you're up. It's your turn, so you can hit her back.
Yeah. Axe, my God!
Yeah. Yeah, go for it. You say the most... That's, like, not quite enough to hit. So you swing it back, and you're sort of still wounded, and blood is sort of squirting out of you. You can swing again, though. Yeah, that does hit. Okay, roll for damage. There you go. So you just, like, fucking, like, swing and miss, and she's, like, cackling evilly, and then you just beat her with the brunt end of the stick, and then come back in with an axe. So it's just sort of like getting her off her balance and then slashing into her. And you're like, ah! And obviously you can still command your dog to do the same.
Let's... Ah, I'm getting mad.
Yeah, you get mad. Yeah, you get mad. And she has to now roll against that and see if, like, she can resist your rage, the fear you've engendered. Ooh, she does not. Okay, she you slash her. She's, like, still cocky because she was stabbing at you. But as you enter this, like, transcendent rage, the dog next to you, your dog, is sort of, like, first also terrified of you, but then sort of feels emboldened. And she looks to you, and behind you, she sees a massive dire bear, sort of just like a shadow of one, and all light drained around it, except it's just you and the dire bear glaring at her. And she is just going to run from you for as long as she's afraid of you and have a disadvantage on anything she does towards you, any attack she does towards you. So that's going to be a pretty useful boon as this fight continues. We are now up Felix.
All right. This may require a perception check. I see this awful spider creature, Huma. She seems like she has a hard exterior. I mean, she's an arachnid, obviously. But it seems like there would be a way to get into her emotions that she would have a weakness for a type of Abrahamic man. Am I right in assuming that?
You are more than right.
All right, I'm not raising a weapon. I'm not casting a spell. I'd like to speak to her. I yell to her.
Holler at her.
Hey, I just moved here to the woods. yeah, my name is Felix Aaron Thorenberg. I'm introducing myself, like, you know, A, just because I saw you, and I don't want to be too forward, but also because I have to. I have to introduce myself to everyone where I moved in, because there was a mix-up, and I did ask a 13-year-old to make a personal vision for me in my orb, and... The knights took my orb, and it was a whole misunderstanding. I am going to, I am seeing an alchemist. I'm going to a sanitarium for my problem. But that's just a little bit about me. Right.
Are thine horny? If so, cool.
Okay. Okay. You see her whisper under her breath, Carlos. And, for the nerds at home, they'll know, once you're in a fight with somebody, it's very rare that you allow this. You could roll a persuasion check to see if you can get her to stop being aggressive.
Okay. I'm the best roller on earth. Everyone's seeing this, I'm not cheating, like people accuse me of.
Okay, he's not cheating, folks, unfortunately. He got a 20. Shit, she sort of stands down. All right, I let this happen. That's what you do. You have to roll with these things. She stands down, still fearful of Matt and his mutt. It's a pure.
No, that's a pit.
Yeah, and but she sort of rests her legs down, and she sort of like sidles up to you, Felix, and she says, "I loved a man once." And her eyes flit towards the skeleton, and you see on the lanyard it's on that it's wearing, it says Wiener. And she says, will you... I can't... You just have to promise you'll never do that again.
Roll insight. Okay.
Roll insight first. Yeah. Okay.
Nah.
Not great. Nah. Four. Here, I'll give you a hint, though, of what's happening. You think she's being really earnest that she doesn't want you to do that anymore.
Okay, okay.
She doesn't get weirdly horny about that for some fucked up reason.
She doesn't love it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't. The new medication I'm on makes it really... I mean, I can get hard. I can get horny. But way more difficult. I'm more into sweating and itching right now.
Okay, she looks to you and she says, okay, just read the parchment. Read the parchment and you'll have the means to summon the queen, the hill hag.
Okay.
I got the parchment over here.
Yeah. So you have the parchment. You open it. It's in a language that neither of you can understand. But Matt, you can read it. It's in Giant, a language that you know. For some reason,
well, let me get my reading glasses on here.
Yeah,
it's two like log rings with amber over them.
Yeah,
forest glasses.
Matt, you read it, and with your very limited reading ability, you can make out the phrase: "Bernie would have won, corn cob."
Bernie win, corn cob.
And as you say this, you hear la 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 la, and you see what must be big Mark's energy appear from the woods. It goes, "Oh, greetings, comrades! I was looking for my friends." He starts dabbing, and you see the queen, the spider queen Huma, turn to you, Felix, and she says, "My love, if you sacrifice his adrenal gland, the hag will come."
Oh, no, you're saying we would have to sacrifice this guy? Wow.
And you see, he's now flossing, he's just grinning stupidly at you, flossing. Yes, I'm afraid so.
Oh, that's a shame. I really don't it when people get hurt like that.
So, do you want to do it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. You guys easily don't even have to fucking roll. You easily apprehend this thing. It's like, wait, no, no, boomer, corn cop, boomer. We're all trying to find the guy who... And slowly, Matt, you... I like this idea. You squeeze the adrenal gland out of this thing. And it pops out. And Will, you have a herbalism kit. So if you want to do that, you could probably make adrenochrome if you roll for your herbalism kit.
Yes, I will. I will do that. And I know like a big part of the prophecy is how much child sacrifice the blue cloaks are doing. But I just want to be clear here. This is not traditional child sacrifice. Child sacrifice is actually a normal indigenous Celtic practice. And it's an important part of my culture. And I hate the way it's been appropriated. But, I mean, like, taking part of the brain of a child and then ditching its body into a bog underneath some sort of runestone is based and traditional. It's good. It's not bad, but it is bad when they do it and they appropriate.
All right, hit a medicine check.
Medicine, okay.
Fuck yeah. So, yeah, you take the adrenal gland and you're able to, through your druidic teachings, just, like, mold it into a beautiful sort of phylactery of adrenochrome. That you can just you have now, and you see the sullen shade. Vincis
Fosterus. I'm based in child pilled.
Vincis Fosterus leads you to a stump, and he sort of directs you to put the phylactery on top of it. And Huma looks to you, Felix, and she nods solemnly. But that's what you do.
Yeah, yeah,
I
say to her, like, I actually have to. Doing a lot of traveling, but
of course.
I'll be back. I'll be in contact.
Yeah,
hey, I'm in the air.
Okay, I understand. Mm. Just lots of things Jews do. I guess I I never understood. Okay, we have, like, I'll see you around.
We have our hands in a lot of pies. All right, I'll see you. No, I'll be back. This is not the last time you'll see me for sure.
Yeah, okay, roll deception. Yeah, fuck yeah, she buys that. 19? Yeah. She fucking buys that. And she slinks off. Yeah, another one, another heartbroken. She slinks off into the night. You place a phylactery down, and then a strange thing happens. All of a sudden, the fog starts to dissipate slightly, but not fully. It only creates a small winding path. The sullen shade puts a hand on your shoulder, Matt, as a siren song starts to play. Will, I need you to roll a charisma saving throw. That's very good. Not good enough.
Ooh.
That's how seductive this song is. Ugh. As it drags you into the woods, you are led towards what looks like a beautiful, lush river with hanging, lush greenery. The river is filled with salmon and all these things. You hear the song, and you see this maiden with long auburn hair, with a modest empty potato sack adorning her shoulders. She lifts a basket of berries she washed in the river and gestures towards a small encampment she's made. Matt and Felix, do you follow Will, watching him sort of like absentmindedly wander through the woods, or do you let him do his thing?
You know what? This is like the woods. This is this guy's shit. You know, it's like if you had a friend who's a nerd and you're in Best Buy, it's like, yeah, I'm following him around. Let's go. I'm following him.
You follow him into the woods, further in, and you see this maiden. Will roll another charisma saving throw. That's good. So that 18. As your friends wander into the woods, you see this beautiful auburn-haired woman, and your friends, what they see is a pitiful, muddy stream, discolored red, and a horrid hag, and the fog ever present. And the woman before your eyes, Will, like The Shining, one of the best scrolls, turns back into the hag that she is. You almost thought for a second you had your pagan wife, but alas, it was another trick of the woods. And the hag, she screams at you all. More worm farmer scum looking for a payday. All you men were cruel to come here. And then, with the sullen shade, who has his hands now on both of your shoulders, Matt, and is looking intently at the hag, and she glares at you, Matt, and she says, but you especially, deplorable bastard. And she vanishes. You've bested the hag. The fog dissipates. The sullen shade approaches you, Matt, and he says,
there's no dishonor in being a bastard.
And he puts his hand on your cheek, and he says, consider the debt repaid. And he ascends. And suddenly the way is clear. And the catacombs are just beyond the river, this disgusting river. Good job, guys. I did not expect you to convince Huma to be on your side.
I could tell there was something going on there. I want to turn to my party and ask something.
Shoot.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with being a bastard. Okay, right. Do you agree that, like, if you know, your dad isn't really around, he's doing his own thing, you can be, like, you could be something, right? Like, I'm saying, like, hypothetically, like, if I had a son and he's, like, kind of a bastard, that's, like he should have no shame, right?
I put my hand on Felix's shoulder. I look into his eyes and I say, Felix of Arathorn, the role of fathers is an invention of early modernity. In Celtic pre-modern times, no man was enslaved by fatherhood. The matriarchy controlled all, and there was no shame in abandoning your child. And in fact, it was the most honorable thing a man could do.
And Matt, what do you think of the hag? She yelled at you and Vince's Fosterus. What is Matt the Barbarian? How does he take all of this in? Does he even, like, can he register it? What's his thoughts on that?
Weird feeling. Groin? Horny.
You see the dog gives a Marmaduke, Beethoven, like.
Don't judge me, dude. It. You lick your own balls. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he goes, the dog goes, facts. Yeah, and the way to the catacombs is clear, so you guys can sort of march your way in if you'd like to. It's night, night is approaching.
Night's approaching. Can we sort of like, can we camp down for the night and like, I don't know, maybe eat some food and like restore some health? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, before going into the catacombs, I think we should probably, you know, top off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys can take what folks at home call a short rest. So you can rest for like an hour or so. And Matt, in particular, what you're going to do is roll your hit die. There you go. Okay, you're at now 42. Will, you got good berries.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to conjure some good berries for the boys.
Yeah, so you conjure some good berries. So it's 10 hit points you can get back from that. So you can share, and you could split it up, obviously, among the berries. And they sustain you for 24 hours of hunger. So you don't need to eat your rations. You can feed your dog that as well. Well, the dog, I guess, had the brain earlier, so he's probably okay.
All for one for all. Let's divide these berries up equally among the lads.
I could just also do like a lay on hands because I know Matt's a tank, but it's like he did take a lot of damage from whom.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can do lay on hands as well. So you guys can each of you. So Matt can put like, maybe Matt puts like four berries so he can like share with the dog if he wants to. And then each of you take three.
Okay.
And then you can use your lay on hands to heal Matt back up to 55.
Doing it,
which would take 13 off of yours, so you have 12 lay on hands left, and so Matt, you're back at full health after this rest, the short, brief rest outside of the catacomb entrance. At this point, now let's venture into the catacombs.
Let's go, boys.
Let's go for it. So, the catacombs are an interesting place. When the fog clears, you see descend into the catacombs. The only sound you hear is the chittering of dozens, maybe hundreds of rats. The walls and floors are wet with grime, and the air stinks of loam. Cramped and dark, you get the sense you're being watched, but not by Fausti's spires, as you've been carefully avoiding them, but by something more ancient and with unknown intentions. Old bones are worked into the architecture of the walls. They could be long-dead dogs, but you suspect they're human. And likewise, your dog, Matt, is intermittently growling at the rats, growling at random things in the wall, just kind of generally spooked here, and like looking for guidance from you on that.
Okay, dude, what's going on, man?
Lots of spooky, scary, spooky, scary. He's just trying to find his fun Halloween words. What do?
Just keep your nose open, buddy. Just if you smell anything, like it's near us, you think it's gonna be a threat.
Oh.
Just go crazy. Let me know what's going on, okay? If it does happen, just close your eyes and pretend you're in a nursery.
Okay. He gets very excited. The dog will then be sort of like on alert and will be kind of like constantly checking. If actually what I want you to do is roll persuasion, Matt, on the dog.
I can't persuade a fucking dog.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy.
Idiots.
You got a crit one. The dog somehow takes your words to mean that like... like, be on alert because something is going to kill you. And the dog is, like, somehow more scared and just sort of, like, goes between your legs. And is just walking between your legs. You can try to hand him a berry or something to calm him down.
Yeah, eat some berries, dude. Come on, settle down. Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm here. We're all here. I got a big axe. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't give him a berry yet. I have an idea. I have the best thing. This is like a tried and true way of calming down dogs. We've been doing it in my family for generations. Okay. I just sort of like in my mouth, like I bite off like half of the Percules tablet. Because you don't want to give him a full thing. And I put it in the berry.
Okay.
This really, like, dogs love it. Well, they don't love it, but it like really chills.
It does help.
It really chills them out. Like, do you want to...
Okay, wow, yes. So you give it to him. He got a very high constitution saving throw. So that Percules does make him calmer. And he's like, whoa,
whoa. Poppin'. Oof. And he's just sort of like saying woof to you, Matt. Like, that's how calm he is. He's just like... he's so calm. And he sort of nuzzles up to you, Matt, and goes out from between your legs and starts to walk and walks beside you instead.
Can you believe that they're making the sackling, the house sackling, pay 20 talents of gold just for making these tablets? They've not, like, anyone who has turned into a newt from taking too many of these, that's their fault. I've been taking these for forever. I don't have any, like, issues.
What you guys do know about the catacombs is that the quickest way probably to get to the Rat King is to follow the rats. They themselves swarm in sort of intricate patterns, but you can find your way there through them. So I would say if you want to do that, start with rolling insight on the rats. See if you can understand their patterns just by getting a glance at them.
I have never understood a creature less.
And Matt with that 11, you get a sense of them. They're fellow beasts. You can also try talking to them, too.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
There's like 100 of them. So they're like kind of just squeaking around. And then one of them sort of perks up. Goes, hey, man.
Hey, what's your name?
Bobby.
Hey, Bobby. So we're hanging out. We're new to the cave. And we just want to, know what to expect. What's going on around here?
Well, man, you see like a bunch of rats going like, Bobby, move, Bobby, move, 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 Bobby. Like, they're all like running around him. He's like, sorry. There's guys in the walls. I mean, there's the king, of course. Love the king. Love the Rat King.
Rat King.
Yeah. We're headed there now. You want to come? Want to come to the Rat King?
Yeah. Let's see the Rat King. Let's find him.
Oh, yeah.
We'll follow you.
Okay, yeah. And so you can sort of pick out Bobby in the group are able to pick him out in the group and able to follow him. Sorry, Felix, are you raising your hand?
This is a question for the DM only. Is this the Royal Rat Authority from DS2?
Oh, no, it's not.
It felt like it. Sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, Matt, by communicating with that rat, you guys have a pretty easy time following them. And following them around and ducking through different corners and crawling through different little scattering. And it's a maze-like bizarre burrowing, the catacombs, you know. You get the sense of the magical ley lines along the walls. Bob sort of like taps him with his nose. And he's like, we follow these. And he starts to like sort of follow them too. And as you guys are curving around and sort of like getting lost in this maze for a good like half hour at this point of just like, it's like, are you going to get to the Rat King? You stumble on a larger sort of atrium passageway, and you see Bob, and he goes, come on this way. And he crawls under something, which is something you guys can't squeeze through. And Will, now you're currently out of wild shapes, I believe. So in front of you though, is this massive automaton is standing, like, it's so wide and so large that even this larger doorway that you haven't seen in these caverns, in these catacombs so far, is it covers like the whole thing. It fills it in each crevice of it. It seems defunct, but yeah, there's just like large automaton in the way. What do you guys want to do?
It's an automaton. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the Vision Scroll. I automaton starring Will Smith and James Cromwell. Can I use my Vision Scroll divination ability to like get a sense of like how to deal with this automaton, how to get it out of the way, or possibly even activate it?
Absolutely. I would say roll a investigation. You're gonna kind of like just look this thing up and down, look at all of its crevices.
Oh wow.
Really, you got a zero. This is
I automaton was not the best Vision Scroll, so I mean, I'm gonna have to think of a different one.
For you, this becomes like a nightmare of modernity as you're looking it up and down. It like shakes you from a pagan perspective, and you're not able to approach it any longer. But yeah, you convincingly brush it off to everyone as like, yeah, it's just, you know, the movie sucked. It's fine. It's I did not get it. It just was not that good. But you guys can also still try your hand at investigating or trying to understand it.
All right. I got to say, no one would ever pick me for a catacomb guy. not the type of place I would hang out. Really not my area of expertise. I'm just sticking close to Will. Like, I wouldn't even know what to look at. If you put me in front of, like, the head skeleton, I don't know what I would say to him.
I'd just like to say, though, that the traditional pagan practice of stacking corpses on sort of a stone shelf in a cave by the thousands is second only to bog disposal as the most based way of dealing with dead bodies.
Okay, oh, yeah. Question, though. I don't want to start like a whole theological debate. You know, we got our own ways of doing things. You guys got your things. But okay, I don't know if you do cremation or not. That's a big thing in my family.
do claymation.
I don't know what you guys do. I mean, I'm assuming like Matt, you just like usually when you've seen someone die, it's like when you kill a deer and you're like, oh, what's that? They're just lying down, and you go about your day, or you put them on a mound. Being a woods person, you know, Will, you've said like throw them in a bog, but like this, you just have like an underground like rat city. Like, what do you do if you want to like visit your loved one? Because we have both headstones and urns in our family, where it's like, you know, if you put them in the urn, they're always with you. They can hear every argument you have for the rest of your life. And that's, we love that. Like, we love that. That's a big, I hope, I'm in a little bit of like a falling out with my family right now, but I hope one day I can be up there on that shelf. And you know, the outside gravestone, it's like a nice place you can go. But do families come down here? Because it seems like they would get fooled by the rats, and they're like, it's not a good place to bring a kid. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you would know that about that these catacombs, you know, hold dead pagan sort of creatures. So it's from a pagan era. So it's not something that people would venture down here that often. So the way that this automaton, I mean, as you look at it, I would say roll a history check, Felix, with your sort of knowledge of the dead and sort of your opining here. Let's see what you can sort of recall. Ooh. Looking at it. Yeah. 22. Looking at this, you recognize it with a little bit more clarity as it looks like some sort of potentially Eastern cooperative era sort of automaton, potentially from the Middle Eastern part of the world. And you also see, I think, once your knowledge of that, you see that in the center of it, there's just missing a battery. And you see to the left of this thing, a big ass battery infused with electric magic. And that seems to be what's happening here.
Guys, I think the Lord God, the one I follow, the same God I've worshipped across all religions, he's always been there. He's given us a sign. I think we gotta tap in with his battery.
So, yeah. You plug in the battery, and it begins to power on. Its eyes glow open. There's a whirring sound inside of its massive metal body, and it begins to speak.
Gigaboris Seeps is online. Identify yourselves.
How do you do? I bet I'm whatever religion you are.
Do you fight for or against the vile imperialist King Job and his decadent realm of Fredonia?
Against.
Ah.
And I'm going to do an intuition check
on
them.
Yeah. 13? Yeah. I'd say with a 13, like, you know, they're not trying to deceive you. You can get the sense that, like, they maybe didn't know what some of the words you just said meant, but they heard against and Job, Iden, and they got that clear.
Great. You hear some a moment of mechanical whirring behind its big helmet-like head, and it goes,
"Excellent. If you fight against the king, then you fight with Boris."
You see the dog next to you, Matt, start to lick Boris and like oh, salt, just like tasting the like metal for some reason.
How's he taste, dude?
Not as good as first lick, but I can't stop. It just like keeps licking.
I had a metal licking period.
and he goes,
"It has been many years since outsiders have been in the catacomb. I have been dormant for a long time. Do you seek the Rat King?
That's what we're here for.
I can help you find and defeat this man. It has been my great desire to wreak vengeance upon him and his evil spooks.
You know, I gotta say, normally, the fact that this just sort of totem of mechanical anti-life is just seemingly inhabited with real energy would be a sort of an abomination to me, as really the like ultimate culmination of reason, science, technology, and you know, patriarchal forces like that go against, like I said, pagan, traditional, matriarchal, Celtic practices. This is extremely cringe and not based. But you know what? Sometimes you got to use the master's tools to take down the master's house.
Absolutely. Comrade. And you, as you say this and sort of like make you clear, like, you know, the enemy of my enemy, right? You, Big Boris 6, roll a dexterity saving. Okay, not too hot. Out of the blue comes one of these spooks, and it comes at you and shoots its and slices its like ghost like claw through you, Big Boy Six, and you take like 10 damage as this thing slices through you. But you know what these spooks are.
Yes, it is the agents of the Dark Crown attempting to suppress us. Here, gentlemen. Comrades, let me protect.
And he is going to go ahead and turn to this thing and shoot. Now, I had to enter this manually, so I'm not sure if it's quite going to work. But
yes.
Does that go?
That is Havana Syndrome. Ooh. Describe what Havana Syndrome is.
My previous masters imbued me with their sacred weapon, the Havana Ray.
And I shoot a ray of sickness at the specter.
Absolutely. Yeah. Roll for damage. That hits. It auto crits whenever you use it against a spook. That spook just dissipates immediately with 28 damage. And he goes, my tummy.
Yes, exactly. Turns to the ghost and like a panel comes out of his arm and a green ray shoots at it.
And it vanishes. Yeah, and the dog goes wall, ghost in the walls, and like sort of like starts like bouncing up and down, like kind of happily watching it dissipate. But yeah, go on, Boris.
Sorry, I've got some flavor text here.
Yes, I was constructed and brought online by the dwarven artificers of the Great Eastern Collective. My purpose was as a weapon in the Dwarven People's Army during their attempt to invade the mineral-rich central highland of Rivendellastan. And to bring the holy kingdom of Moon Elves there into the collective. The Dwarven effort proved a failure, and over the course of their long occupation, much war material was captured by the Moon Elves. Big Boris was among the ordnance taken into their control and reprogrammed. I now serve the Moon God of the Elves, and I am dedicated to protect their holy kingdom and vanquish their enemies. However, as you of course know, not long after the Eastern Collective withdrew from Rivendellastan, King Job's filthy Imperialist Templars attempted a similar invasion and occupation. The Elves outfitted me with this ray of sickness, this Havana beam, as an offensive spell to cause confusion, nausea, headache, and crippling upset tummy to their agents at a great distance. I was a scourge of the Templars, and they hunted me, captured me, and brought me here to the Black City. I've been tortured and experimented on by the Rat King, Lord Pieter Abunatush, and his minions here in the tunnels for years. But my hatred for the Western swine and fealty to the Moon Elves is too strong to break! I will never give up the secret of the Havana Beam. And I've been waiting to be unleashed to wreak my revenge against these dogs, and now, you, my friends, have done so. I will aid you in your quest for as long as possible.
Amazing. That was, you know, I gotta say, Sometimes you find fake friends in real places, and sometimes you find real friends in cavernous corpse dungeons.
I could not agree more.
You know what's so funny is, like, my entire life, I was saying, there's no way I would make friends in a catacomb, much less one of the best friends I've ever met. Boris, thank you for making a real asshole out of me.
As an automaton, I do not engage in the concept of friend. I do engage in the concept of ally. I have been in these catacombs a long time. I understand the ley lines and can guide you to the lair of the Rat King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we go off.
Yeah, you guys...
I grab my giant halberd that is stationed next to me and trundle off. Yeah.
You guys follow Big Boris Six, the dog, who's now just so happy that like there's more people is like running back between you guys and is very happy. And you guys reach into the main lair of the Rat King. Big Boris is true to his word. He knows his way around these catacombs. As you're going there, he opines on the way the ley lines work, the way that the rats communicate information. If you want to do that, Boris?
Yes, these whole area is infused with these magical ley lines. They channel magical energies in all directions. If you monitor the rats closely, as I have for many years, and it appears our large friend Matt here is able to as well, you will see that they travel along the magical currents to the center, where their power originates. You must beware of the Rat King, though. Though he may be weak in person, he commands an army of rats, and an army of spooks who can do his bidding.
And as you guys wander closer and closer towards the center of the where the Rat King is, the chittering of the rats warps into the lurid rush of transportation. From footsteps to the pounding of hooves to Magitek rail cars to airships and more, it's deafening. It's like a constant assault of sonic traffic just like blasting in your ears. You see one of the, you see Bobby, actually, yeah. That you've been tracking him. You sort of catch him again. You see him. He sort of waves to you, Matt, and that he runs into the center of this nest made of bones and debris where the Rat King sits. The Rat King himself, his face is human. It's exactly as pallid as it is youthful, plain as it is obnoxious, and stretched over the skull of some Jurassic rodent, its snout bulging and complex rather than sleek and knowing. His body's emaciated, scarred, and knobby bones jutting out, straining to hold his leathery, half-human skin that hangs so taut as to almost fray at the edge of his frame. He's covered in these rough patches of senescent fur grayed by who knows what, and a long, 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 long tail made of small, scurrying, diseased, and dying rats that quiver and ache and cry in pain as they've been molded to him by some foul magic. Whatever the man the Rat King was before he was the Rat King can be found in his beady little eyes, which still occasionally sparkle with dull sociopathic fervor. But at the moment, they're shut tight, listening intently to the susurrous pips of Bobby, who has approached him. The Vermin Lord's splintered human ears twitching in interest. When the rat says its piece, the Rat King plucks him by the scruff of his neck betwixt his delicate, crooked fingers, and unhinges his maw and swallows him whole. He then swiftly whips around his massive tail and decelerates it just as smoothly at the base of a vast stone wall behind him, where stone knobs, dials, and buttons lay. His tail hisses and oozes and adjusts these knobs accordingly. He just raised the toll to cross from New Polonia to Erinboro by 3.5 copper pieces, which should optimize the transit authority overhead by 0.1735% year over year. It's a big deal, and he's very pleased with it. The horrible din of travel continues, unceasing. The Rat King then pulls out a strange orb from beneath his nest and brushes some crud and viscera off of it. He then waves his gnarled fingers dramatically over it. Roll Arcana Vulfil. A3. You can't quite tell what kind of orb this is. Yeah, you too as well, Felix, if you'd like to as well. Both of you are not quite sure sort of what this kind of orb is. Oh, a crit.
Ooh.
Felix got a crit on this check.
Maybe.
Felix, you have a lot of history calling exes with a scrying orb. trying to get in touch with your bastard sons who've blocked you on the scrying orb. You know one when you see one.
That's one of the reasons I want King Trump back in there, because he was going to make all orbs a public utility, and you couldn't get banned from them, and you wouldn't be able to block people.
And you see him pull it out, and as he sort of like spins his little fingers around it, the hum of transit gives way, and now there's this sort of it's supplanted by the whispers of the king, and two troubling voices that are now spinning out of the orb through some sort of red, you see a red sort of line of magical energy conjure this massive, two-headed creature. The Chancellor, Nan Chuckett. wearing their customary dashiki. Beneath which rests huge boobs. Each of them speak in turn, one Nan and one Chuck It. First, and here's what they say. Nancy says, Nan.
You've done well, Peter. The mason will be pleased with his creation.
Thank you, Madam Nunchucket. I live to please.
All that said, there's something we need to discuss. Something important. Immediate. And they say at the same time, confidential.
Yes. Yes. I love secrets. I love them.
As you may know, Duke Cuomo has embroiled himself in yet another scandal. One that the blood gods of the Black City will be unable to abide. And then Pete says,
but I thought the elder sacrifice was the finest offering.
Nancy says, and it was. And it pleased Baba Mazias. And Pete, like almost standing at attention immediately.
I pray to the great transporter, Devil Moses, builder of roads and beaches.
And Chuck says, yes, yes, we know, Pete. And Nancy goes, what we're referring to is his unfortunate ancestry. Not everyone is as strong as the warlock Fausti. Some succumb to the baser instincts of the Italian's lust, and so he is canceled. And Pete is, like, horrified.
No worse fate. No worse fate.
And worse yet, we fear he has something planned. An uprising. He'll refuse to leave. So tomorrow, he shall be removed. In the chaos of this conflict, we expect you to assure the safety of the portal.
And Pete sort of waves us away.
Yes, of course, of course.
And Chuck says, to be transparent, the once Muslim king has taken to the performing arts, and we are without his guidance. And Nancy says, or his influence. And the mad king, wouldn't you know it, he's growing madder still. His remaining son has gone rogue, and the warlock Fausti, while our ally now, his spires grow by the day. No doubt aided by his demon patron. We fear the blue cloaks are slipping. With Cuomo's removal, we hope this setback will strengthen our organization's resolve. And Pete is salivating now.
Yes. And you need someone to step up. You need someone to rise to the occasion, yes?
And Nancy says, if you do well here, Pete, it could be you who is the Duke of the Black City. And Pete does a full backflip.
Yes, I will step up. I love to step up for difficult jobs. Yes, oh yes, oh, I'm coming. Oh.
We thought you'd say that, Pete. This is a critical moment.
I'm roping all over the place. Oh.
While Lindale has died, his forces remain, and the prophecy must not be fulfilled. If we handle this properly, and they say at the same time, Fredonia will be for ours forevermore. And they vanish. And once they vanish, the Rat King is licking his lips, doing a little dance. He's flossing too.
You see, spooks?
Shouting to the spooks.
You see, I am a worthy vessel. I am worthy of the title Rat King. You see? You see?
And he's like dancing about. What do you guys want to do? You've learned a lot now about what's going on in the Black City. What's going on at the palace too.
I'm looking at the Rat King. I'm looking at a guy whose body is constituted by diseased rats. Mm-hmm. And I turn to Arathorn and Matt, and I just say, there's something about this guy that's not right. I don't like it. And I heard, but before he was Master of Transportation, when he was with the Consulting Guild, he fixed trencher prices, okay?
No.
He has a, you also see around his neck, the Amtrak shard hanging loosely.
Oh, well, okay. We need that shard to get to the Capitol. We need the shard to complete our quest. Folks, boys, quest mates, I've got high hopes for a killing. let's fuck this rat up.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Woof!
Yeah.
It has been my desire for years.
I would like to turn to Wolf Will and before we start this attack and say, comrade, I sense a distrust for my mechanical exterior. Before we begin, I would like to impart a gift of the magics given to me by the Moon Elves. And I cast Mage Armor.
Fuck yes.
On Will.
Ooh.
All right.
This is a traditional
spell.
of the Rivendell-Sen people.
And right. That's just going to give you a higher
it's
AC.
Based. Yeah. It's based.
It's very based. Okay. Yeah, so you now, Wolf Will, you should have an AC of base AC. Oh wow, shit. Okay, cool. Yeah, I think you'll have an AC of 17 now. So that's pretty fucking good.
Let's go.
Yeah, so you're gonna be a much more fearsome ally.
And then I would go on to say if
the three of you want to focus your attacks on the Rat King, I will do my best to defeat his spooks and rats.
You use that Havana Ray. You tank the spooks. Us three, we're taking down the rat.
And he like cocks his forearm and says, "It will be my pleasure."
Fuck yes.
Okay, so, what's your guys' plan of action? Are you just going to charge? Do you have like something you want to do? Matt, do you want to enter a rage? Do you want to sick the dog on them? What do you guys are thinking?
Oh, I think that I'm going to rage.
Hell yeah. Yeah, be likey. Matt, you enter into a rage. The spirit of the dire bear around you. You're not close enough yet, but if you walk towards Pete, he will have to roll to see if he's afraid of you.
I'm running.
You're running? Yeah, you're charging? Okay, Felix, Will, you getting ready for this? This is the big fight.
Before Matt is in close with him, I do want to try one sort of like AOE attack on him before he gets in close. I do want to cast Divine Smite just to kick this off.
So Divine Smite will happen when you connect a melee weapon to him. Okay. So it's not going to be quite that, but you do have Scorching Ray, which I gave you, which I don't want to hear anybody tell me that he's not supposed to technically have it. And you can cast three rays of fire basically at him and just like start this off by just like lighting him the fuck up.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah. Scorching Ray.
Fuck yeah. Okay. And then Will, you have your armor now. What do you want to do?
Imbued with the sacred bard knowledge of the Vision Scroll, mm-hmm. Piero Pasolini's Solo or 120 Days of Solo.
Cool.
I channel the Vision Scroll. Mm-hmm. And I put it towards, I'm calling lightning down on this rat.
Fuck yes, dude. Okay, you're gonna do call lightning. Okay,
call lightning.
Hell yes. No, yeah, that's okay.
Call lightning.
Okay,
submit.
Okay, fuck yeah. All right, so we're gonna. Oh boy, this is gonna be nuts. Okay, so let's resolve this. First thing that happens is Matt, you're sprinting towards him. The Rat King is like dancing around with glee, and he's like, "What?" And then, like, sees you running towards him, and he sees this massive dire bear charging behind you, and your dog, like, with all the fury of a pit bull to a toddler, just charging even harder. And we're gonna do a couple of things at once to resolve this. First, because Matt is just like getting the jump on him, I'm gonna have this guy roll. The first thing he's going to do is see if he's afraid of Matt. So let's see how that is. And he's afraid of Matt. Matt, you charge in there, and he, like, sees this massive bear coming. And he's just like,
"No! They're coming after me! Justin, hide!"
He's running away from you, Matt, as you're charging towards him. But you actually literally move 10 feet per 6 seconds faster than everybody else. So you're going to reach him pretty soon. Now, everyone roll initiative, and we're going to resolve everything else. In the meantime, yeah, Big Boris 6, you're just like, spooks are coming in as Matt is charging, and you're just like fucking like blasting them away with them, and they're all like, "Oh, I got a headache. Oh, it's so hard to be a secret agent." Oh, and just like crying and screaming and kicking their feet around. Okay. All right, knows the initiatives. The Rat King is running away frantically from Matt, but he is going to get the jump on his initiatives. He's pretty quick, fortunately. So while he is afraid of Matt, which was not a guarantee, he is going to get to go first. But first, he's running from Matt, and these scorching rays are coming at him. And also this lightning. So first he's going to roll a dexterity saving throw. He is. So the lightning calls down, and he just happens to be running right around the same time. Excuse me. As this storm cloud forms and this lightning shoots down, and so he's like,
"Yeah, fuck you! Yeah, oh,
he's able to dodge it out of the way. That said, you now, as an action, can just keep calling lightning down on him each turn. So he's just now underneath the storm cloud. He's like, ah! Like watching lightning fall down. And now, Felix, roll, hit Scorching Ray in the chat. Your sheet. Yeah, all right. So it's not quite high enough. These Scorching Ray, that's one of them, though. You have two others.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay, both of those hit.
All right, now we're cooking.
So each of those do 2d6 damage. So just hit the Scorching Rays in the chat twice. Fuck yeah. Okay, yeah. So like he's like dodging this lightning, but his footing is a little off. And so when one of the flames goes wide, he's like,
fuck, I've been hit by a Scorching Ray.
Like get him in the gut. And he's like lurching back. And then, like, in his fury, it's his turn. He's going to whip his massive tail around. And he's avoiding you, Matt, because he's, like, terrified of you. And his tail's whipping around the whole of the room. This disgusting, diseased tail.
Yeah, you like that, Will? Get ready for my tail!
And so Will and Felix and Big Boris 6, each of you roll dexterity saving throws to avoid this massive tail. Whoa, baby.
Easy pass.
Easy pass. Wow, okay, cool. So all of you are able to pass this. So it like kind of comes in. You all like treat that shit like fucking jump rope and just like jump over it as it whips around. And he's like so fucking pissed about it. He's like, ah, and he whips it back around. So all of you, roll another dexterity saving throw again.
Dude. Mm-hmm. Easy come, easy go.
So you, you guys, Big Boris 6, he's an expert combat. He's just hovering in the air as an automaton as he gets it under him again. Will and Felix, you kind of like have the and just the tail whips back at you guys.
You insolent beast! Ah, fuck you!
And you get knocked over, and you take 11 damage from this diseased, disgusting tail as the tail hits you and starts to like gnaw at the rats that are like on it, gnaw at you as it connects. You're cast to the ground, but that's it for his turn, and that 11. In the initiative. That's Will. So, Will, you got knocked down, but you're up.
First of all, not the most pleasant experience I've ever had getting hit with a tail of diseased rats. Yeah, it wasn't great. But you know what? I'm casting lightning again at this asshole. I'm calling lightning.
Yeah.
I'm raining down the lightning.
Okay, so he's going to try to avoid it again because he's still stuck in that cloud. Let's see how he does.
Woo!
Damn.
Yeah, he did not roll too hot. Okay. So you hits you with the tail, and then you, like, your eyes glow white. Like, what happens? How do you aim this from this storm cloud you have hovering over him? How do you call lightning down and do 21 fucking points of damage to him?
Yeah, my eyes go white. You know, like all the hair on my body stands up as this, like, you know, like static electricity convulses through me. I just sort of like with my palm, I bring it up and I cast it down. And I'm like, hope you're thinking about Graham Greene's The Quiet American on your fucking stupid college thesis as you suck down this high voltage.
Fuck yes. I also forgot that he also takes half damage because from the failure from last time. So he's still, oof. Yeah, he's really not looking good. Yeah, you just like do that. You see his skeleton, which looks like both a man skeleton and a Jurassic rat skeleton, clumsily fused together by just the best minds in the dark crown, the shadow crown. That's your turn, Matt. You're up.
Oh, it's action time.
Oh, but yeah, that fucking hits. Nice, yeah. So you go in there and you just like he's like scared of you. Actually, you know what? I think he's scared of you, and you just like fucking like just check him with your axe.
Not the axe.
Like just like brutally check him. You could attack him again too. Yeah, not as hot this time. You check him, and then he sort of gets out of the way. You can obviously call your dog on him too, though. Now.
Go for it, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretend he's wearing a bonnet.
Yeah. Yeah, that dog loves to kill things with bonnets. He got a 21. He's going in now for the hit. Yeah, and he takes a big chomp out of him for 6 damage.
Oh, hello, nice doggy. Yes, go for it, yeah. How I hate dogs. Worry not, I'll get my revenge on every dog.
The Rat King is, like, looking fucked up right now. He is, well, you know.
relatively speaking.
yeah.
Boris, you're up. You're blasting away spooks, but you have an opportunity to sort of like do some damage to Pete as well.
Great. I'm Ray of Sicknessing whatever spooks are in my vicinity going up.
Get some. Internalize the guilt over the contradictions of managing Empire. Yes.
And then as I'm like backing up, pinning the spooks against the wall with Ray of Sickness, gonna slash with the halberd.
Fuck yes.
At Pete, at the Piator.
Yeah, it fucking hits. It's a 20, baby.
Ooh, and nice. That's 5 for slashing.
Yeah, you just slash along one of the burns where the Scorching Ray had hit him earlier, and it's like this like layer of like crispy pus just like pops out as he's like this decaying, disgusting man. He's just like screaming and crying. You can attack him again.
This is for the minerals. May they forever stay in Rivendellistan.
Another with the halberd. Okay. Only 11.
Yeah, 11 doesn't hit that time. So for the minerals, but you kind of whiff it this time. He's looking pretty bad. Felix, before you even get to go, you guys have been doing so much damage to him. That 21. Good God. Okay. He is like wounded and like just like leaking. And he like tilts his head up and like cocks it to the side. His tail suddenly whips around. And it wraps around his body, and it flushes tight against his form, and his tail begins to melt and fuse into him, and he looks like a shambling mass of disgusting corpses. His humanity is like completely surrendered to the spasmodic horror of the true Rat King. And then he shouts,
"All aboard!"
And his mouth opens up, a vortex of shrieking vermin, a crater as serpentine as the catacombs and as repulsive and apparent as Piotr's soul, opens so wide that it inverts, and from this inverted void, a colossal regurgitated tube of rat corpses made of Pete's meals bursts forth, and it's chew-chewing pus and guts like the train the Warden of Transportation could be proud of. And the train is all that remains. All of you.
I gotta say, fellas, I really wish I didn't see that.
Boris is wiping viscera off his halberd, going,
"So, that is happening."
This is my love letter to Miyazaki. And he's now in his second phase, as they say. You are up, though, Felix.
I have not gotten to bust out this bad boy, but we're doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time. Time to bust out Abraham's Bastard
Sword. Fuck yeah, dude. Go for it.
All right.
Okay. That's not going to hit. That's a 10.
I whiff. Yeah. Okay. Well.
Go for it again, though.
I'm not. Okay.
If you want. A 12. Also not going to hit, so.
All right. Well, it looks like I'm Catholic today. I knew this was the loser release. Yeah. Why I tried to switch over.
And so, you sort of whiff a couple times with the sword. It's back to the top of the order. And Piotr is going to, or whatever is left of him, this sort of disgusting, regurgitated rat flesh train, is going to fucking bolt around wicked fast, except for you, Matt, because he's still scared of you. So he's going to, like, just curve around you, he's going to try to attack all of you. So he's going to roll an attack roll as his, like, train is going to just, like, try to ram into
chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-choo-choo. Yes, I'm a steam locomotive, or perhaps I'm an Excella Express. Yes.
Okay, ooh, that does hit all of you. Yeah, he does 12 damage to Boris, Will, and Felix.
Oof.
Yeah, he's just sort of like slamming into you and just with his fleshy train like body running you over, chewing away. And he's going to do that one more time. Also, let's see how he does.
We have been slammed in the back of the Rantula.
Fuck, he got a dirty 20.
Ooh.
This is not looking good.
Ooh. You know, they always make the first phase of these Pete fights.
Oh, yeah.
It's always when he switches forms that it becomes hard.
Yeah. It's like just when you get, like, the rhythm right from the first form, and then it's like you have to learn a whole new way to... It's stupid. I get why he's doing it, though, and it's brilliant also. You take another 12 damage. Okay. Yeah, so you guys are probably not looking too hot.
No, we're not.
But it's back to Will, your turn.
Well, you know what? Got to dance with the one that brung ya. The storm cloud is still in effect. Call lightning again.
Fuck yeah. He's still in that cloud. Fuck yeah.
Woo!
Describe your kill. That is so much damage.
Oh, that's a kill?
Save the day, all
right.
Will.
Alright, I extend my fingers, like pointed at each other in sort of like an orb shape. And, like they crackle with electricity. Mm-hmm. I call a sphere of electricity up. I just like, raise it and just bring it right down on his head.
Yeah, and he shudders and vibrates, and this train lends out a final choo-choo as it fucking just carved, like peels in half and almost like depressingly, unclimactically just slows to a stop.
I go now to my reward. Chugga chugga, chugga chugga, choo choo.
And all the undead rats inside of it scurry out and sort of limp along. You see Bob wave to you, Matt.
Thanks.
scurry away.
I just sort of blow off my finger. I blow off my electricity finger gun. I look at the pile of charred rat flesh, and I go, this train is making an unscheduled stop due to a sick passenger due to an incident at a previous station.
In that instance, Matt, roll a dexterity saving throw with advantage. A frozen stapler flies across the room, and Matt, your barbarian-like instincts are able to quickly dodge out of the way of it. And the form, the frost form of a massive Cheshire-like grin on this woman's face, a massive face, appears in the ether. And she says, that was my kill! I've been trying to kill that rat fuck for years, you little shit. It's Amy Coldstar, famous sorceress of the Great Lakes. And she says, may the Great Lakes freeze for this transgression. Let's see how your hair fares in this. And she freezes everything in the catacombs all over. And then, snap, pillar snap, rock snap. The whole thing is falling. You have to get the fuck out of here. Like now.
I got to beep, but we got to grab that Amtrak charge. Mm-hmm.
You can grab it from his viscera. Right.
I'm grabbing the Amtrak charge from
fuck
the viscera.
Yes.
Boris runs over to a large statue of a huge rat and reaches behind it and senses the side of the wall and finds a loose stone and pushes it, revealing a stone door on the side of a secret stone door that opens up behind it and says,
I have spent so long being tortured, taken apart and reassembled in here. I know every inch of these catacombs. Come on. There is a secret exit.
Yes. And before you and before him is a minecart and a long, winding, whirling sort of a track held up by flimsy stalks of scaffolding. And the minecart is just big enough for all of you, plus the dog, who I did not know was going to be joining us in this adventure.
Wow. God really does have us. Like, no matter which one. Whether it's like a big tree or bears or oh my god.
Yeah, you know what I say? You know what I always say, Felix? It's God's plan. And by gods I mean the plural of gods. The God, not the possessive of God. It's God's
plan. There's just frozen rock falling around you. You guys are like casually discussing this. You guys hop you guys hop in the minecart or what?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, Boris gets into the very front and sticks his halberd down into where the steering mechanism would be and says, I can navigate if you can take any threats from behind.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And he's right, because now, as you guys go zooming down this place, Boris, you see a turn coming.
Right or left, comrades?
Guys, right or left?
You know, there's only one direction I want to go. The right direction.
Okay.
To the right.
Everyone roll a strength check. Okay. That's fine. So
So even with that 7, you guys together, that's good enough. Like, you turn, the cart starts to shake a little bit, like, it might take some damage, but you're able to turn right, and it's going okay. Unfortunately, in front of you is a tumbling bit of catacomb with magical ley lines flailing around. These are literal magical things, and they're shooting insane sort of bolts of energy towards you. What do you guys want to do? How do you want to stop these from coming?
Just duck into the duck. Sort of like, yeah, just I'd like to like just curl mm-hmm. up into the bottom of the minecart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's no spell you have in mind or technique, you can obviously you can all do a dexterity saving.
Hold on, I have a question about one of my spells. It's kind of late to ask it, but
nice. Spirit Guardians, were you going to ask about?
I was wondering if that would be like a like Vow of Silence, like in Dia,
oh.
where it's just like you. You
yes.
counteract any spell or mirror.
So what it would do, that's cool. What it would do, though, is it would summon spectral guardians around you. And you could, I would say in this instance,
okay, yeah,
you could use that to
good.
Have them following around you and deflecting like any rats or spooks that come your way. I would say that would be the move for that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your guardians look like?
My guardians, they're little like, friendly little like ghastly apparitions. They're sort of like the friendly ghosts.
Okay. Yeah.
They're wearing a habit.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, like a priest habit. But then they're wearing a hot seat hat. And they're double cupping.
Yeah.
One thing is like bar mitzvah one. One thing is communion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And when they fly over to the debris, to the magic that's fucking with mm-hmm. us. They pour both of them.
Fuck yes, yeah.
And just it evaporates.
Yes, it yes, yes. And they go shalom as they do this, and shalom mashallah, and as they pour it on it, dispelling the magic. You guys are going further through. Right or left? Right or left?
Right or left, comrades.
I chose last time. I'm sick of making.
All right, let's go. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Roll strength.
Left it is.
Okay. Yeah, good enough. Damn.
Ooh.
Good. Some good rolls there. Okay. So, yeah.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, yeah, Matt with the fucking strength able to just, like, jerk the car and the minecart in the correct direction at 20, making sure that you're still on track. You see further rocks falling from above. Everyone roll constitution saving throws. You're just going to take damage from this. This is just what happens. Oh, my God. So, I mean, a little behind the scenes. I rolled 2d10. And I got 2 ones. So, like, you guys take Matt. Nobody, Chris and Felix, you guys take 2 damage. Will and Matt, you only take 1 damage. These rocks, you guys are just, like, are able to just, like, brush them away. And as rats come scurrying in, I had checks for that. But, Felix, if you have these guardians out, they are just able to fucking dispel these rats as they're coming in towards you, trying to latch onto the car and hold onto it. And as you're finally bursting through what looks like the very end of this tunnel, you see a light at the end of it. The minecart, which has been faring fine, hasn't taken much damage, because it's been great on the rolls, is starting to kind of shudder. And the reason why is because you turn around and you see 2 of the ley lines now have crashed on one another. You hear one last shriek from Amy Coldstone from somewhere out there as the ley lines freeze and grind on each other, causing an insane magical friction that creates this like crazy purple energy that shoots out. Everybody roll dex saves. If you can fly. Okay. This is gonna be interesting.
Boris, we are depending on you right now.
Okay. Felix, Will, and Matt, you all take 14 damage as you are.
Oh my God!
Blasted by this giant.
Aren't I dead now?
You might be. You might be knocked out. Yeah, you're knocked out. So you're gonna roll death saves, but you're blasted. Boris, you can like pick him up. You can all try to pick up Will and drag him out of the cavern too.
We're actually out of the cavern.
You're about to be out of it. Yes.
All right. I wanna try to do something cool.
Okay. Do it.
If we can see the light and we're being blasted out of the cavern,
yes.
As I see, Wolf Will. Knocked unconscious and perhaps not making the arc of his trajectory right. Boris casts Mage Hand and reaches out with a spectral hand to grab the body of Wolf Will and give it a jerk into the right direction to you know, kind of alley-oop it over his body. You know, while saying,
yes.
you know, we do not leave, comrades.
Yes.
Damn.
And as the catacombs collapses on itself, frozen and knotty and messy, and this energy dispels, you all tumble out. Out along the river that leads to the Black Sea. It is almost fully evening. Felix, I don't know if you want to heal Will so he doesn't have to roll death
definitely.
Saves. So just use some lay on hands.
Yeah, lay on hand. I had 12 left, if I remember.
Yes, you did. So you can use a few. You can use one of those if you want to. Just get them back.
Yeah.
And so, Will, when you were near death, Will, what did you see?
Well, I mean, for me, for someone who practices my belief, death is but a door. It's a door we walk mm-hmm. through, and that, like, ideally, in the perfect state of death, that is when your soul is given the horns of the goat by the great druid Earth Mother, and essentially it is when you are only when you are cuckolded by the Celtic goddesses does your soul pass through like that. That is the key that lets you walk through the door. So I mean actually I didn't experience that. It was sort of like just nothingness. It's really was there. I mean, there wasn't the Earth Mother. I was not given the horns yet, but yeah. One day I
of
will.
Course.
That will happen.
That's, yes, yeah.
I want to reassure him. Look, I'm into so many religions because it's like gambling. You know, it's like when we die, we're gonna find out. Who had the right one. I don't think this necessarily shows that your thing isn't true or that none of them are true, that it's just nothingness. I think it's like it's a wake-up call. It's like, oh, well, you thought you had done enough to be crowned by the woman. I don't know her name. But she saw you and he was like, nah, he's got to do some more traditional stuff. He's got to find some more bogs. And I think that's a sign for you to, like, grind harder. To find, like, bogs that you never even thought of. To go to trees, to, live in a wheelbarrow. All the stuff you need to do. To make your own role-playing game, perhaps.
I mean, thank you. I've certainly felt better than I do now, but I can feel the real life energy slowly returning to me, despite my near brush with nothingness. But who knows? Who knows what's on the other side of the river Styx? You guys laid hands on me just in time, so thanks.
Yeah, no big one.
And you guys, as night is approaching, you know that in the morning you're going to have a rendezvous with the river contact for Lindale as he's passed on. So you could set up a long rest for the night, which definitely I'd recommend because you guys got pretty fucking
yeah.
beat up.
I'm gassed.
Yeah,
fellas. I'm gassed. And thank you for saving my life, but I would like to say... we're even now because I saved your life earlier by killing the Rat King. There's very little chance you guys would have survived that fight if it wasn't for me. So, like I said, fair is fair, but we're even now.
We're pretty even, yeah. I agree with that.
And, so you guys set up camp. You make stoke a little fire. And Boris, how are you feeling? What's going on?
Boris, as you're setting up a camp, is reconnecting panels and armoring that, like, rewiring himself back together, and eventually stands up and plants his halberd in the ground and says,
"Comrades, I cannot thank you enough for rescuing me from the catacombs of the Rat King. I wish you the best of luck on your journey, and may you bring down the evil empire of King Job. However, for the time being, our journeys must part, for there are comrades of mine, imprisoned from here to Langleyshire, that I must free, at least five of them, if I am counting correctly. And so, it is with great pleasure I thank you for your services, and depart."
Yeah.
Probably one of my best friends I've ever had, and just to think, if we hadn't saved him, he would still be being tortured right now by the Slating Guild.
Boris does a big sweeping bow to you all and says,
"May our paths cross again, once more onto the shining path to justice and freedom."
And he traipses off into the forest.
And yeah, so you guys are now settling down by the campfire. The dog is sort of sleeping now by the campfire, resting easy. How are you guys feeling? You have your pillows.
All right, so we're bedding down. We're bedding down for the night for the fire.
Yeah, you can just do that.
This is just how I'm feeling right now. Is even though it is the most traditional and masculine thing that one can attain in life is to be cuckolded by the great nothingness that is death. I'm sort of glad I didn't cross the river. I'm sort of glad I didn't walk through the door. You guys saved me from walking through the door. And like I said, there is nothing greater than to be cuckolded by death, but a close second to be among good friends on a heroic quest.
Yes. Yeah. Guys, I sort of not really by my own choice. I have been a loner for a lot of my life. I found myself alone in many ways. Been ejected from many things, even things as informal as groups of friends. But I thought, you know, that was my lot, that I am a single absentee father, and that's just who I am. But in a very short time with you gentlemen, I've learned that each other, that's all we have.
And you, Matt?
I'm just talking to my dog.
Yeah.
I never actually got your name, dude. Sorry.
Why don't you give name?
I'll think about it.
Fuck shit. Fuck shit. Fuck shit.
Yeah, that's fine.
I like. He wanders over to you and like licks your hand affectionately and settles down. Fuck shit for the night. You guys have these like sort of my pillow, thy pillow. Thank you. Thy pillow, little pillows that you can put out and you can rest your heads on. Before you drift off into sleep, though, you see a few figures from days gone appear among the stars. Their legacy has made them somewhere between saints and gods. One of them begins to speak. It's the mug of what must be just the most handsome Hollywood man in the world's ever seen.
Hello, boys. I've been watching over you since your journey began. Just came by to say, some men write their own fate, and some fates are written by the stars. That's why I outsource most of my foreign policy decisions to Queen Nancy's court astrologer when my brain was turning into glue. Now I'm sharp as ever, and, well, can't wait for it to be morning in Fredonia once again. If you don't mind, my respected colleague would like to tell you something.
The Shadow Crown found out I was planning to scatter them to the winds, and they killed me for it. Prince John had to fake his own death 20 years ago, but he's been working behind the scenes to restore House Trump and avenge my murder. Any friend of his is a friend of mine. Go show those shit-kicking commies what real Fredonia is all about.
You'll have to excuse His Majesty's foul language. Once a sailor, always a sailor.
That's right. I fought for my king in the Pacific Theater. Where was it you served again? Grauman's Chinese Theater?
There you go again. Look, me and Jack don't always see eye to eye.
But we do agree on one thing. We're so proud of you, boys.
Go give him hell.
Bless.
And then there's a final figure in the stars. And he appears. He's a handsome Albanian man.
Ooh. Yeah.
Regis, is there anything you'd like to tell him? Before we set them on their way?
Real big and gives you guys a thumbs up.
He's so damn shy.
That's beautiful.
One of these days, we're going to get him to start talking.
Oh, just one of these days. And they all fade into the stars.
I love you, Regis. I hope you can break out of your shell. Shyness is a curse. Regis, I love you.
Canonically, Regis was king for 350 years. Maybe. Who knows?
As the three of you pull the pillows from Mikaeus Lindale out of your packs, hunker down for the night, with the coals from the fire still glowing, you settle into the most relaxing sleep of your lives. In the middle of the night, Matt, your animal senses detect somebody has arrived, but you're too comfy because of this thy pillow. It's just too nice. So you only see flashes of it.
and you see a stranger sitting down. Same stranger who hung on the cliffs before. The must-be looks appears to be like the Mad King, but he's younger. He's wearing a cloak. And he begins to sing. I don't practice Santeria. And he presses the crack pipe to his lips and lets out a smooth exhale. I ain't got no crystal ball. And the stranger holds the pipe to his owl, and his owl takes a hit. Well, I had $1,000,000, and his shirt is now off, revealing extensive scarring and tattoos, a map of the Finger Lakes in Hebrew script. But I spent it all. And he's gone. The fire is out, and you fall back into your perfect slumber. After all, tomorrow is Sextus Januar, the anniversary of the revolt. That's where we'll end it.
Did you enjoy part two? Thrilling, no? Well, there's more parts to come, should you ever return. Aye, look here. Caught that stinking rat as well. Listen, listen. Ah, nothing better than listening to a rat squeal. I suppose you'll want to be heading back out there. Take the rat. Dinner, right? Can't be too picky now. Remember your place, gifted child. Lest you wish to swap yours with your meals. How low.